Thursday morning, I wake before my alarm goes off. I feel sick. I reach for my speech, which I have read over so many times I know I can do it by heart. But I read it over again anyway, and I think, for the 1,000th time, I am going to get up and say these words in front of the whole... And that is when I groan so loud, my dad comes in and asks what's wrong, and I tell him I am dying. He does not tell me he will call an ambulance or a funeral director, but instead asks me what I want for breakfast. I tell him Pepto-Bismol. I carefully select my wardrobe. I finally choose a white polo shirt, tucked in, and khaki pants. I check myself out in the mirror. I am somewhere between preppy and invisible. A good choice. My dad is smart enough to know that I need to go easy on breakfast. I eat a bowl of cereal and a banana. Every bite sticks in my throat. While my dad finishes packing my lunch, I say, all nonchalant as if I haven't practiced saying it 25 times already, "You know, Dad, if it's busy at work today, you really don't have to come. I won't feel bad. Honest, it's not such a big deal."
"If it's not such a big deal,"
he says back, holding up a fruit leather and a power bar for me to choose between, and, seeing as I can't, tossing them both in my lunch bag.
"Then how come most of your clothes are all over your bed?" "Nice try, Skip, but I'm going to be there. I don't want to make you more nervous than you already are, but..."
"But you are," I go, right away regretting the words.
"I know that. I was in seventh grade once too, believe it or not, and I had a father, so I know how you feel. But here's the thing. Your granddad cheered the loudest of anybody at my Little League games, and he came to every single one, and I just about died, okay? At the time, I would have given anything for him to just shut up. I even asked him to stop coming, which he told me to forget about, by the way. It took becoming a father myself to finally get it. You can't help wanting to cheer your children on, kiddo. That's what being a dad is about. So, I will be there today, and I will be cheering for you, silently. I will not embarrass you, and that's a promise, but I will be there. Now, here's your lunch, and there's the door."
I take my lunch bag from him. It's not you embarrassing me I'm worried about. It's me embarrassing you. Did you ever feel that way with Granddad?
Every single Little League game. That was the real reason I didn't want him there. But I'll tell you what he told me. You can't embarrass me. Not ever. It's just not part of the deal.
"Honest?" I say, actually daring to look at him when I ask this.
"Honest. Now get out of here, or we'll both be late."
Walking to school, I am feeling better. Like I just may be able to pull this thing off. Then the doors open, and the halls are full of kids hollering at each other, and Mrs. DiPaolo is walking by hugging her sweater to her shoulders, and one of the no-name posters picks that moment to come loose from its masking tape and fall right on top of Brittany Hobson's head. And she looks surprised, and then, seeing what it is, laughs her high-pitched cheerleader laugh, like, "I can't believe I let this silly thing scare me." And I want to turn around and go to the dentist and have all my teeth extracted, because even that would be better than what I have to do this morning. Addie does not help matters. She is like a cross between the chief executive officer of the world's largest corporation and the chief executive officer of the world's second largest corporation. She is so take charge, I want to tell her to just do the whole thing herself. But then I think, this is just how Addie gets. As for my morning classes, one big blur. At 10:30, Mr. Kiley's voice says over the loudspeaker,
"Will the candidates for the student council please report to the auditorium?"
For the next half hour, I joke nervously with my fellow candidates about fear of collapsing folding chairs and throwing up. I think, this is democracy in action. I am actually talking to Colin and Drew Geller, and even Brittany Hobson, who, of course, does not admit to any fears, and probably doesn't have any. And all these other kids who most times wouldn't even give me the time of day. I notice that Colin and Joe are talking and laughing together when all of a sudden, Ms. Wyman claps her hands and says,
"Please take your assigned seats and let's have a quick run-through. You will not actually give your speeches now, but we want to be sure that everyone is clear about the order and how things will go."